As I get ready for this morning, we were also talking in prayer and thanking the Lord about how He's provided for Zoom to be with you guys, be with one and all. We're very thankful for that. And we will be reading Joshua chapter 13 when we get set up here. Stream as well. Very thankful for all of you and all of you. Okay, so please stand as we read the word of the Lord together. We're in Joshua chapter 13. Joshua 13. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years when the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years, and very much of the land remains to be possessed. This is the land that remains, all the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Geshurites from the Shinhor, which is east of Egypt, even as far as the border of Ekron to the north. It is counted as Canaanite. The five lords of the Philistines, the Gazite, the Ashdodite, the Ashquenite, the Gittite, the Ekronite, and the Avite to the south, all the land of the Canaanite and Merov that belongs to the Sidonians, as far as Aphek to the border of the Amorite, and the land of the Gebelite, and all of Lebanon toward the east, from Baal-Gad below Mount Hermon as far as Lebo-Hamath. All the inhabitants of the hill country, from Lebanon as far as Mithrepoth-Maim, all the Sidonians, I will drive them out from before the sons of Israel. Only allot it to Israel for an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now, therefore, apportion this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and the half-tribe of Manasseh. The other half-tribe, the Reubenites and the Gadites, received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond the Jordan to the east, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave to them, from Aer, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, with the city which is in the middle of the valley, and all the plain of Medeba, as far as Dibon, and all the cities of Sion, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, as far as the border of the sons of Ammon, and Gilead, and the territory of the Geshurites and the Machahites, and all Mount Hermon, and all Bashan, as far as Selika, all the kingdom of Og and Bashan, who reigned in Ashtathroth and in Edrei. He alone was left of the remnant of the Rephaim, for Moses struck them and dispossessed them. But the sons of Israel did not dispossess the Geshurites or the Machahites, for Geshur and Machah live among Israel until this day. Only to the tribe of Levi he did not give an inheritance. The offerings by fire to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance, as he spoke to them. So Moses gave an inheritance to the tribe of the sons of Reuben, according to their families, and their territory was from Aer, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, with the city which is in the middle of the valley, and all the plain by Medeba, and Heshbon, and all its cities which are on the plain, Dibnon, and Bamoth-Baal, and Beth-Baal-Meon, and Jahaz, and Kedethmoth, and Metheth, and Kirithim, and Zibma, and Zerah Shehar, and the hill of the valley, and Beth Peor, and the slopes of Pishgah, and Beth Jamath, even all the cities of the plain, and all the kingdom of Sion, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses struck with the chiefs of Midian, Evi, and Rechem, and Zur and Hur and Reba, the princes of Zion who lived in the land. The sons of Israel also killed Balaam, the son of Beor, the diviner, with the sword, among the rest of their slain. And the border of the sons of Reuben was the Jordan. This was the inheritance of the sons of Reuben, according to their families, the cities and their villages. Moses also gave an inheritance to the tribe of Gad, to the sons of Gad, according to their families. And their territory was Jazer and all the cities of Gilead and half the land of the sons of Ammon as far as Aor, which is before Rabbah, and from Hezbon as far as Ramath-Mizpah and Betonium, and from Manaim as far as the border of Debir, and in the valley Beth-Haram and Beth-Nimrah and Succoth and Zaphon. The rest of the kingdom of Zion, king of Hezbon, and the Jordan as a border, as far as the lower end of the Sea of Chinnereth, beyond the Jordan to the east. This is the inheritance of the sons of Gad, according to their families, the cities and their villages. Moses also gave an inheritance to the half-tribe of Manasseh, and it was for the half-tribe of the sons of Manasseh, according to their families. And their territory was from Manaim, all Bashan, all the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jar, which are in Bashan, 60 cities. Also half of Gilead, with Ashitaroth and Edrei, the cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan, were for the sons of Machir, the son of Manasseh, for half the sons of Machir, according to their families. These are the territories which Moses apportioned for an inheritance in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan at Jericho to the east. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses did not give an inheritance. The Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance as he had promised to them. Thus reads the word of God. You may take your seats. Our passage this morning is Joshua 13:33. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses did not give an inheritance. The Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance as he had promised to them. In this morning's reading, we are presented with a partial roll call of the tribes and the allotment of their inheritance from the Lord. Much of the promised land had not yet been conquered. Joshua was growing old and getting near death. Remember that he and Caleb were the oldest of the people, since they were the only survivors of that first generation who were permitted to enter the land of promise. These were the two faithful spies who had gone in and told the truth about the land and its inhabitants. They had urged the people to trust the Lord and to cross the Jordan, and to enter the promised land. Yet the fear and the lies of the other spies had caused the people to turn back, not trusting the Lord to go before them. Thus, the rest of that first generation died away during those 40 years of wandering. Accordingly, Joshua was growing near to death at this point. As a result, the Lord was making it very clear how the land was to be divided among the tribes so that there would be no dissension when the time of Joshua's leadership was over. Embedded in this list is the fact that the tribe of Levi had no physical inheritance in the land. They were not to be tied to the land and having to earn a living from the toil and the sweat of dealing with the earth to provide their sustenance. They were to see the Lord as their inheritance. As well, God was to have the Levites as his portion from among the people. This was so important and so special and so unique that it was emphasized twice within our reading. Please refer to verse 14, Joshua 13:14. Only to the tribe of Levi he did not give an inheritance, The offerings by fire to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance, as he spoke to him. Then we come to this morning's passage, verse 33, as it brings the chapter to a close. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses did not give an inheritance. The Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance, as he had promised to them. This having spoken to him, or promised to them, refers back to the exchange that the Lord had with Aaron when it was declared that the sons of Levi would not have a portion in the land. Instead, they would have the Lord as their source of sustenance and as their inheritance all the days of their lives. They would not be bound to the land, but they would be bound to the Lord. This was detailed back in Numbers 18, 20 through 24. Please turn to it so we can read it together. Numbers 18, 20 through 24. Then the Lord said to Aaron, "You shall have no inheritance in their land, nor own any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the sons of Israel. And to the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance in return for their service which they perform, the service of the tent of meeting. And the sons of Israel shall not come near the tent of meeting again, lest they bear sin and die. Only the Levites shall perform the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and among the sons of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithe of the sons of Israel, which they offer as an offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore I have said concerning them, they shall have no inheritance among the sons of Israel." This was again reinforced so plainly in Deuteronomy 10:9. "Therefore, Levi does not have a portion or inheritance with his brothers. The Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God spoke to him." This was the surety of the promise of the Lord to the tribe of Levi. They were called out from among the rest of the people for the specific task of serving the Lord. They were responsible for the preparation and the handling of all the holy elements and articles required for service in the tent of meeting. This would eventually be part of the establishment of their service within the temple in Jerusalem. They would also be the ones to serve in the places within each community throughout the promised land that would become the synagogues and the schools of instruction. One of the glorious truths of the sanctification of the Levites would be that they would be the leaders of the rejoicing in the Lord for all the good things that he did within each community. It would be through the Levites that the celebrations and the feasts would be commemorated before the Lord. As the communities rejoiced in the good harvest and in the abundance and the growth of the herds and of the flocks, the Levites would be included with joy. They would be honored guests, bringing in the spiritual awareness that the Lord was there in that community. They would be the representation of God's glorious provision for each family as they were gathered together in gratitude and in honor of all the goodness of the Lord. We find this detailed in Deuteronomy 12:10 through 12. Deuteronomy 12, 10 through 12. When you cross the Jordan and live in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies around you so that you live in security, then it shall come about that the place in which the Lord your God shall choose for his name to dwell, there you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the contribution of your hand, and all your choice votive offerings which you will vow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levite who is within your gates, since he has no portion or inheritance with you. The Levites were to be viewed with honor and with thanksgiving. They were not to be considered a drain on the local resources, nor as a bothersome stipulation that required that they were invited or else. No, there was to be a genuine recognition that they represented the Lord. They were to be given the royal treatment as unto the Lord God Almighty in the midst of each celebratory opportunity. Honoring their presence was to be seen as honoring Jehovah himself. Then, in Deuteronomy 18, 1 through 8, we have detailed how the Levites were to be maintained by the nation as a whole. Please turn to it so we can read it together. Deuteronomy 18, 1 through 8. The Levitical priests, the whole tribe of Levi, shall have no portion or inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the Lord's offerings by fire in his portion, and they shall have no inheritance among their countrymen. The Lord is their inheritance, as he promised them. Now this shall be the priest's due from the people, from those who offer a sacrifice, either an ox or a sheep, of which they shall give to the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the stomach. You shall give him the first fruits of your grain, your new wine and your oil, and the first shearing of your sheep. For the Lord your God has chosen him and his sons from all your tribes to stand and serve in the name of the Lord forever. Now if a Levite comes from any of your towns throughout Israel where he resides, and comes whenever he desires to the place which the Lord chooses, then he shall serve in the name of the Lord his God, like all his fellow Levites who stand there before the Lord. They shall eat equal portions, except what they receive from the sale of their father's estates. One of the key aspects to this joyous promise of God was the fact that the Levites would be free to deal with all those elements of the Lord which were holy and were honorable in their relationship with the Lord God Almighty. They were the ones who would be dealing with the service of the tent of meeting and eventually the temple. They were the ones to whom the people would come in each town and city for instruction and for judgment and for admonition in the ways of the Lord. It was this group of Israelites with whom the nation could find their spiritual growth and encouragement and remembrance in all the elements of their spiritual walk. The Levites were the Lord's gift to the nation as the reminder of God's grace and mercy and provision and love, as well as his holiness and righteousness and justice. This was an awesome responsibility, burden, and blessing placed upon the members of the tribe of Levi. Accordingly, in terms of removing the entanglements of making a living, the Lord gave to the Levites the means by which the tribe would be sustained. All the offerings of fire were given for these chosen of God. Also, all the tithe was their portion as the way for the nation to maintain spiritual instruction through the means of those offerings and tithes. This giving allowed the Levites to concentrate on their studies of the Word and their time within the duties of the tent and temple service. They did not have to worry about the clearing and the tilling and the planting and the weeding and the harvesting of the land, etc. They were also not tied to the care and the keeping of the flocks and of the herds. They were to serve the Lord directly for the sake of the nation. The Lord made His provision for them through the means of the support of all the people. By not tying them down to any property, they were open to go wherever the Lord desired to move them. They would most likely stay within the communities of their birth through and until their death. However, they were to be treated equally by the communities wherever they went. There was to be no distinction and no withholding of the goodness and the generosity of the people from any of the Levites. The prophet Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 44:23-30, made it very clear what the duties of the Levites were to be within the nation of Israel. This was one of the key truths to what God was putting into place through His selection of this tribe. They were to be the practical application of the holiness of God, evidenced and expressed in the way that the nation would understand and appreciate the manifested presence of the Lord. Accordingly, there were very severe restrictions put by the Lord upon the Levites to be that reality of His holiness within the chosen people of God. Ezekiel 44:23-30. Moreover, they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in a dispute they shall take their stand to judge. They shall judge it according to my ordinances. They shall also keep my laws and my statutes and all my appointed feasts and sanctify my Sabbaths. And they shall not go to a dead person to defile themselves. However, for father, for mother, for son, for daughter, for brother, or for a sister who has not had a husband, they may defile themselves. And after he is cleansed, 7 days shall elapse for him. And on the day that he goes into the sanctuary, into the inner court to minister in the sanctuary, he shall offer his sin offering, declares the Lord God. And it shall be with regard to an inheritance for them, that I am their inheritance. And you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. They shall eat the grain offering, the sin offering, and the guilt offering, and every devoted thing in Israel shall be theirs, and the first of all the first fruits of every kind and every contribution of every kind from all your contribution shall be for the priests. You shall also give to the priests the first of your dough to cause a blessing to rest on your house. The Levites were the teachers, the instructors of what was good and right before the Lord. They were the ones who dealt with the holy articles of the tent of meeting and then the temple. They were well versed in the manner of the holiness and the reverence that God alone deserves. As they were the ones to study the word of the law, they were also able to express and to teach the lessons that were needed within their communities as their social obligation. Also, it was the Levites to whom the people would bring their petitions and their requests for rulings under the law of the Lord. The people trusted the Levites to be fair and equitable in their interpretation and the administration of the standard of the law and its explanation of justice in all its application. Accordingly, the people would honor them with those first fruits of grain and of the vine and of the herds and of the flock. The Lord was pleased to allot this provision to those for whom there was no land inheritance in the promised land. The Lord was their inheritance, and they were the Lord's and were to be treated in the full respect of that called out placement. When we read of the allocation of lands that were distributed throughout the rest of the nation, excluding the tribe of Levi, there may be some who think that the Lord was unfair and even miserly in that determination. The fact is, however, the Levites were given far more than the rest of the tribes of Israel. They were offered the fullness of their relationship with God. They were given the opportunity to spend time with Him rather than having to make a living from the earth. They had the full means given by the Lord to come into the vast knowledge of the treasury of His wealth of spiritual life with no restrictions or hindrances upon their time. He was truly their inheritance and their portion as they opened their hearts unto Him and sought to know Him and to represent His presence within the communities of their habitation. This is what is now true of each of us in Jesus Christ. God has made Himself our inheritance in all the splendor of being brought into the place as the chosen people for His own possession. We close with that encouragement and statement of reality by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So be it. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses did not give an inheritance. The Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance as He had promised to them. Amen. And the Lord bless all.